Listen, go and listen to our series, Total Faith. This faith that we muster only when we have issues is not very powerful. The faith that's just there, walking his own all the time, then you react to life and the faith rises up in your defense. That's the one that really works. David ran after the sheep, gave it, you must ask, it did not, Bible said that they did not love their lives even unto death. That's what happened. There was a spiritual, faith is not, this, I told you before, faith is not just, I claim. Faith, the other word for faith in English is what? Faithfulness. It means the same thing. The faithfulness to his assignment was what made him pursue the lion. And if you notice something, he didn't go to kill the lion. We can't be reading it now, but you can confirm it later. David did not go to kill the lion. He went to collect his property. So he got there, he snatched the sheep from the lion's mouth and moved away. He said to Saul, when the lion turned on me, I had to defend myself. So if they arrested him for lion murder, his plea would have been self-defense. The same thing with the beard. No, I'm trying to bring out something here. What was David's gift, calling, all those things? The man, the only one he knew was that he could play the instrument and poetry, prophetic psalms came out of his mouth. That's all he knew. But why was he a shepherd? The father said, be a shepherd. One of our brothers came to me once. He saw me in Abuja, but he couldn't get to see me. So he came to Enugu. What is it? He used to be in Enugu here with us, but now he's practicing in Abuja. He says, sir, that he likes corporate law. He's a lawyer. That his organ now transferred him from, he works in a law firm. So they moved him from the corporate side of it and moved him to litigation. So he has to start going to court and stuff like that. And he doesn't feel, let me use the expression of Christians, he doesn't feel called in that area. There is no passion for it. He doesn't feel that the grace, in all those big English, these are true words, but Christians often use them to justify responsibility. Faces are flashing in my head of people who use it to justify responsibility. Including me, I'm one of the faces. So I'm not pointing at you. This is Pastor Bangi. You're using me to preach. It's not you. I'm using us to preach. Me, my wife, Okemote, Chris, all of us, we are using each other to preach. Amen? Amen. Just for you to know and stop doing it. So that is why you came from Abuja. He said yes. He's thinking of whether I should resign. I looked at him. You like corporate law? Yes. Your guy said go to litigation? Yes. I said go back in subjection to Joseph. Looked at me. I said, yes, go back to Abuja and go to court. I said, your boss has given you an assignment. Please, go and do it. I don't want to hear from my wife. I don't enjoy it. If we all did what we enjoyed, I would drive on the left of the road. You drive in the center. And you know what happens? We'll be jamming each other. Goza, goza, goza. Akinlu cannot do what he enjoys. He does what his mother says. My children, they don't sleep when they enjoy it, though. We'll get home. What is the time? Is there no school tomorrow? They get the point. There's one interesting cartoon. It's still going on TV. They are still watching. But either their mother or me will get up there. Is there no school tomorrow? Because if there's school tomorrow, you're supposed to be snoring by 8:30. Now you remind them there's school tomorrow. They don't like it. But they go to bed. And they will hug you. If you want to spoil your children, give them everything they ask for. They will hate you. When you put your food down and say, hey, time for bed, they queue up. Okay, good night, mommy. Good night, mommy. They're looking at the TV, but my guys are going to sleep. No, really, that's one major way by which you discover your assignment in life. That's one major way. It's not all this passion thing, like gift calling, I felt the call, I heard the spirit, something moved me, I dreamt, all right? In my opinion, it's less than half. The other one, the major one Christians often overlook, is this issue of you are just somewhere and God says, you, leave that place, go and man that place. I don't like it, you will like it while you are under authority. Nobody was called a king. What I mean is this, nobody is born and born to rule. No, all of us were born to serve. Then God plants people, listen, have you ever seen, you say, God, I just like dangerous areas. I know they are crazy Americans, I know. But normal people don't like to fight. Go to, you know, you go and they are bombing. It's not normal. That's the discipline of a soldier. Please go and read my book, don't quit the army. Christians must learn to be disciplined. So because what happens is sometimes God places you in a place. And I have a very good example again. Joseph, you think you felt called to prison? As I was praying this morning, my spirit began to witness that prison, my son, to prison shall thee go. There is nothing like that. Nobody feels called to prison. Do you know how you arrive in prison? You get sent to prison. Have you ever seen somebody say that, where are you coming from? Ah, I volunteered to be imprisoned. If you volunteer to be in prison, they won't answer you. If you come and say, good morning, sir. Is this Kiri Kiri? Am I talking to the controller of Kiri Kiri? In our church, the pastor was preaching and he said that, you know, they're going to call a psychiatrist for you. How do you get into prison? You are sent. And in Joseph's case, he did not even deserve it. They sent him there. But that was his path to destiny, troubles. So please, prison you go by being sent. So why can't somebody send you to the gate? Say, go and man the gate. Which one is better, gate or prison? So if you can go to prison by being sent, then you can be a gate man by being sent. Many people discover these things because they were sent somewhere by somebody in authority or situation, condition in life. When I say condition now, suddenly, look, there's a situation on ground. Who will do this for us? You are the only person that fits it. So you take it temporarily. Derek Prince tells the story of how he ended up staying almost all his life as an adult now in the United States. He was in the UK and the pastor was traveling for holiday. So he went to US to go and relieve a pastor that was traveling. And they said when he was getting there, they said, how long do you intend to stay? He said, like 6 months. And that 6 months became the next 20 years. Because when he got there, there was no calling. The Lord began to speak to me, Derek. And the Lord used to speak to him, but that one, the Lord didn't see anything. The man simply went there, are you getting me? To go and relieve somebody. As that one was ending, somebody invited him somewhere. Before he knew what was happening, he was taking tours in so many conferences in the United States, he did not go back to UK where he came from. Being responsible is one major way by which we discover God's assignment for our lives. Very important. Let me say it again. Being responsible is one major way by which we discover God's assignment for our lives. If you are not available to be sent to do something, you will pray for a very long time and God is not going to say anything to you. We know David as a king in Israel. That's what we know him for. But for goodness sake, that was not the gift he had in him. That was not the gift. The gift he had in him that we all know about is what? Music. Prophetic sounds. Why did he become king? As a shepherd. He demonstrated faithfulness there. Then one day, Samuel arrived, who now anointed him king in the midst of his brethren. He was never called there. It was nothing like, I feel a calling in my spirit that I'm supposed to be a king. Nothing like that too. Please, I hope you've gotten the point. Because Christians go around many times, what is my ministry? Your ministry does not need intellectual, discernment and putting your assignment into words. You do what you are supposed to be doing. We'll give it a name later. Did you get what I said? Do what you are supposed to be doing. We'll give it a name later. In fact, most names people use these days, you know they are very wrong. Most people they call pastors these days are nothing like that. Everybody I know they call evangelist is not an evangelist. No, I'm persuaded. That I have my reasons. We can't go into it now. All right? Most people they call evangelists, I think the Bible calls them apostles. That's what I think. Most people they call evangelists, the Bible calls them apostles. The only person I can easily tell you I am persuaded is an evangelist that we all know is T.D. Jakes. Listen to him, you know what the Bible calls an evangelist. People say evangelists go out to reach the lost. I didn't find it in the scriptures like that. The titles are described in reference to the church. Go and read Ephesians chapter 4. He gave gifts, he gave some as what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. For what? For what? For the edifying of the saints, to prepare them for the work of ministry. They were described with reference to the saints, to the church. So when you say an evangelist brings good news, not to the world, to the church. And listen to T.D. Jakes, you know what I'm talking about. When the man preaches to you in the midst of your adversity, you jump out of your seat, with excitement. That's what I call an evangelist. Now, like I said, it's my opinion. All right? Okay? Now, why did I just go into, and of course we know, the title pastor, this means what? The head of a congregation, which never existed in the Bible. As a matter of fact, in the scriptures, pastors did not head churches. But we just assume it. So when men are interpreting it, so for us now, a pastor is what? An administrative head of an assembly. It's like the CEO, the chief, CSO, the chief spiritual officer. Let's not just use the word executive. Are you getting my point? Now, that's what we think. But the scriptures did not use it like that. What's a pastor in the Bible? Is somebody who instructs people by teaching them the word of God. That's why he called pastor and teacher is one title, not two titles. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Now, that's not our main thing. What I'm trying to bring up from that is that, so don't pursue titles. You will be misled. Do what you are supposed to do. If I switch my title to the one I told you I desire, which is what? Brother, all right? It doesn't change what I do. You won't stop coming to listen to me say, he has backslidden. He said, what happened? He's backslidden. He used to be a pastor. He's no longer a pastor. He's now a brother. Are you getting my point? And if I deceive myself and say, now I am an apostle, you will just tell yourself that this man liked title share. Meanwhile, I preach more ago. You are getting what I'm trying to explain here. It will not change what I do. So Shakespeare said, roses called by any other name will still smell nice. Are you getting my point? And that's why we have changed the name of money so many times, it's still doing the same thing. We call it Kudi, it's still working. Kuza is still working. Mula is still working. Pepe is still, that's the current name now. We have changed, what is money now? It's called Pepe. Give me another name. Huh? Kishi. I'm hearing new ones. Call it any name you like. So the money does not need to tell us what it is, just buys us something. You say, what is your name? You say, I don't know. Can you buy me a car? Why not? So when I finish using you to buy a car, your name will now become Car Acquisitor. That's a new name for the day. Somebody say, no, you are not Car Acquisitor, it is Rent Payer. Whatever it is, you get my point? It is what you do. It is, so please, when you ask, what is my assignment in life, please forget that thing. That is looking for, where do I fit? When you try to do that, many times you miss the main thing that God wants you to do. So, you find an assignment in your life, committed into your hand, do it with all your might. Or number two, you find grace that's with you, exercise it accordingly. Those are the two ways I know by which living people, that is people who are attached to God, who are walking in righteousness and in holiness, that's how they discover what God wants them to do. I hope you've gotten my point here. I hope you've gotten my point. Now we read something at the beginning, can you remember? 1 Corinthians chapter what? Chapter 15, yes. Yes, I wanted to emphasize something from that verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. What I want to share with us, all right, for the rest of the time we have today, is to emphasize that word grace again. You know, it's my favorite topic, grace. How to walk in grace when you're walking in God's assignment for your life. That's what I just emphasize today. What was Paul saying here? Paul said, if you find me breaking new grounds, it was not my energy. It was the grace of God working with me. Paul was saying, assuming I'm a businessman. Now, please, this is very, very important. Because like last time we talked about the grace, the giving grace. All right? And I gave an example. I said, the man with the giving grace has to have something to give. Amen? So what God does is that he multiplies his grace. He multiplies the ability as he proves faithful. And I explained that what God does is that he converts resources into his hands. And I gave an example. That if a man like Joseph was a, let's assume now, he was a, which word is that, was an investor. He invested in stocks and stuff like that. All right? And then, now when I say Joseph now, I'm trying to describe his ability to see the future or interpret things that other people can't interpret. You get my point? That is, somebody, now, you know, Joseph, Pharaoh dreamt a dream. Joseph gave the interpretation. There are many applications of that. Sometimes the president of a country can dream a dream and a Joseph watching from afar can interpret it. Now, dreams come in different methods. You can have dreams a man had when he was sleeping or cabinet meeting, the president and his lieutenants decided that this is what we would like the country to be. So they described their vision for the future, all right? And they say it. For example, in the days when he was CBN governor, Charles Soludo said that, what was his dream? That the year 2020, Nigeria will be amongst the top 20 biggest economies in the world. Now, a lot of people thought he was talking nonsense. Then a few years ago, when they recalculated the size of our economy, we're now number what? We had hit, I think, number 25 or something. That time when we beat everybody in Africa, when we became the largest economy in Africa, that when they added the value of our telecom sector, movie industry and all of that, by the time we added the value, we had hit a very high level. And I said, oh, look at it. A few years before, people were laughing at Charles Soludo for saying this. I said, it's not looking more possible. So you look at situations like that. Now, that's what you call a dream. It's not only when men lie down at night to sleep that dreams come. But a man like Charles Soludo, he dreamt a dream. Now, what does that imply? Many times people dream dreams and it means nothing. What do I mean by means nothing? It comes to nothing in the lives of the people around. Just imagine for a moment that Pharaoh dreamt that dream. There was no Joseph to interpret it. Or Pharaoh dreamt that dream. A Joseph interpreted it but did not provide any solution. Or Pharaoh dreamt that dream, a Joseph interpreted it, and that person told him what could be done, but could not develop the technology to do it. Because storing grain for 7 years is not small business. This was before the days of all this herb, pesticides and all of that we had, things that could kill weevils from destroying stored grain. So you see different levels there. One, what does the dream mean? Two, okay, now we know what it means. 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine. So what are we going to do? We should store grain. How? Are you getting my point here? So you find out that the spirit of Joseph is not just to be able to interpret dreams as in, let's know the meaning of it. The spirit of Joseph also implies that somebody can take advantage of the knowledge they have acquired by being acquainted with certain dreams and apply it technologically. Are you getting my point here? That if they've developed certain principles by which they will use that knowledge to improve the economy around them. So let's assume a man like Joseph exists today with that spirit of Joseph inside him. So he watches TV, he reads the news, and he has a chance to make a statement. Most of us, it's just a statement. 99% of citizens of this country don't know the meaning of the size of an economy. Yeah. You sitting down here, do you know? I'm not pointing at you, but I'm just asking yourself to think about it. When I said just now, they included the value of our telecom sector and the movie business. Some people say, so? You know, all that is Greek. Say, I like Pastor Banky, he speaks in tongues of men and tongues of angels. To them, I spoke in tongues. The birds of the air collected the thing instantly because they did not understand it. You are getting my point here. So we hear a lot of dreams. Sometimes the president comes on TV, all right, and addresses the nation, and he tells you his dreams. And this is what people who have no understanding do. Don't mind him. What does he say? What does he know? Eh? I traveled. My colleagues, I went for a workshop. When the office, look, when you hear people talk, nonsense talk from specialists. The president comes, shares a dream. Charles Soludo comes, shares a dream. Are you getting my point here? They share a dream, but because there are no Josephs that have any understanding, what they do is to insult them. He's not in touch with reality. A young man told me, he said, Nigeria can never have uninterrupted power supply. That was when President Obasanjo was swearing that his aim was to give Nigeria uninterrupted power supply within 2 or 3 years after I came into power. Can you remember that time? And believe me, the man spent money. Many of the machines they brought in, I don't know whether they finished installing all of them now. Many of them were in the wharves for years. Some of them were in crates for up to 10 years. Why? The president shared a dream. The Josephs were so blind. They sat down and dared Pharaoh to produce prosperity for 7 years and produce famine for another 7. Pharaohs don't produce the dream. He's just but a man. He went to bed and he dreamt. You don't laugh at his dream, you interpret it. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. You're not supposed to laugh at the dream. But ignorant people, what they do is laugh. How can he say, a young man, I've told this story before, he sat and said, Nigerians cannot have uninterrupted power supply. I said, why not? He said, minimum wage. That time he said, was only 7,000 naira a month or something. I said, do you know the difference between minimum and maximum? Minimum is what you can't go below. It doesn't tell you what you can't go above. I drove him out of my office. I said, this was the same talk that people talked that prevented the European telecom companies from investing in Nigeria. But the Africans who understood, you know, African telecom companies are powerful. Somebody say amen. In Sudan, without government, I think it was, I forgot which company. Without a government, they rolled out GSM before Nigeria. Was it Sudan or Somalia? They had, do you know what they call GSM? For mobile phone. They had before Nigeria, they did not have a government. You say, how were they paying? It's Africa. The guys found a way. And it wasn't prepaid that time, it was postpaid. So how were they collecting their money? If you don't pay, they call the village elders on your head. I'm not joking, and these guys were raking in hundreds of millions of dollars. Nigeria had a stable economy. People said that we could not pay for GSM. Thank God for MTN. Thank God for Econet. Those two guys came in, partnered with Nigerians, and began to bid. Because Nigerians did not know, the bid hit $285 million. And that was everybody had dropped out, remaining the few people that were still remaining. So government released for $285 million. What's the name of this guy? Chairman of Etisalat now. Akin Bello Asagi. He said, now we know that the true value of that license was $800 million. He's now the chairman of Etisalat. Because he dropped out at 265. Because his people told him 265 was the value. He was bidding that time too. So he dropped out at 265. He said, that was the worst business mistake of my life. He said, now we know the true value was $800 million. What am I going to talk about? Pharaoh's dream. Josephs are supposed to interpret. When they can't interpret, they get confused. They start talking nonsense. So Charles, to do those dreams, you are supposed to sit down and pray and say, Lord, look at the ruler he has dreamt. What is the meaning of his dream? President Buhari comes up with a dream. You don't laugh like every joker in town. Come on, you have the spirit of Joseph. You ask yourself, what is the meaning of his dream? You can look at everything he has done and said wrong concerning management of our forex. But forget that and look at the dreams that he's uttering on the airwaves, in the news reports. And say, Lord, what is the meaning? Because every dream has a meaning. I was saying to you, if Joseph did not exist to interpret that dream, Egypt would have been wiped out by seven continuous years of famine. And people would have laughed and said, Pharaoh did not know how to dream properly. He should have dreamt more realistic dreams. I don't know whether you are getting my point here. I'm talking about grace. What is grace? Joseph, assuming that Joseph is here now, he hears a dream, he interprets the dream, but he's a businessman. He's not interpreting for Pharaoh personally. He's interpreting for his company. He's interpreting because he's a CEO. So the 7 years of when crude is going for $100 a barrel, are you getting my point? When the naira is overvalued, when things like that are happening, the man is strategically positioning himself, knowing that this will not last forever. It's going to be followed by 7 years of intense famine. And the next 7 years, don't forget, Joseph bought all the land in Egypt for Pharaoh. Go and read your Bible. Because the men finished their money, nothing remaining. He bought with their land. The land finished. He said, what do you say? Sell yourselves. So by the time the famine was over, Pharaoh owned the land, he owned the people. After that, Pharaoh became too wealthy. Because after the famine, when waters began to rise again, they could not irrigate. Things were happening. Every time you farmed, you were farming on Pharaoh's land. So you paid him royalty. Every time you walked, you were walking with Pharaoh's body. So you paid him taxes. After Joseph, Pharaoh was too rich. Because of the existence of Joseph. But you know what Nigerian Josephs do? Modern Josephs, they sit down and laugh at dreams. So by the time the dreams are fulfilled, they are poorer than when they started. Not knowing how to interpret dreams. 7 years of abundance, they grow very, very fat like the cow. Yeah, they grow fat like the cow that, that Pharaoh dreamt about. 7 years of famine, they go lean like the cow that Pharaoh dreamt about. Why? The spirit of Joseph in them was not manifested. So if Joseph did what I'm saying, Joseph would have become, let's use modern terms, worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And you'll have said, Joseph, how did you do this? He'll say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You're getting my point here. Joseph will have said to you, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Listen, let me just, that must be one important message I've dropped today. That spirit of Joseph, from today, you wipe from your mouth any kind of laughter when a ruler is dreaming. If a ruler is dreaming, you don't laugh. You don't laugh at him. God is every word he utters. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Every time he utters, you pray, say, God, give me the insight of Joseph so I can interpret this dream. And put in technology to take advantage of the movement of things. Christianity is not a joke. Are you getting my point? This is real power. People go to court to go and do things. Christians come to church and live, they live stupid. Is that good? Men go to courts, to get things done. And Christians come to church and live as stupid as they came. It's not right. No, it's not right. It's not right. Like my wife and I would talk at home, say, look, you have to learn to cooperate with grace. There are things my wife does this, in my mind, I laugh. That is very, very good. She said, I wanted to do this. I said, no, that is not working with grace. So I turned back and came home. I said, good, you will live long, you will prosper. Yeah, seriously. You will live long, you will prosper. When it comes to ministry, as an example, there are things you do. You know what you are saying is that I have to succeed by grace alone. I'm talking about working with God. We're not saying being smart for God. We are saying let God pour grace into you so that he can manifest things through you. That's what we are talking about. Talking about the giving ministry. That spirit of Joseph is very, very crucial. And these are men who, when you buy papers, you are looking for dreams. You're not looking for jokes. There are newspapers you don't buy. Every time I see the headline, I say, these guys are breeding poverty. They breed men who are angry all the time. Please, better move son aside and go and buy business day. People are talking about the economy is going down. Dangote did not slow down construction of his refinery. Did you hear that the man stopped construction because economy is down? One of my friends was telling me, I was angry with Dangote. I said, why? How can he say Nigeria should sell assets like NLNG? I said, he's a businessman. He wants you to sell it cheap so he can own it. What's your problem? It's your duty to refuse. Now, look, you see, why am I talking like this? We say it's a season of fruitfulness and multiplication. People who are fruitful, who want to multiply, they must have the spirit of Joseph. They don't go around whining and complain about everything. They know how to hear dreams and bring forth technologies to take advantage of it. That's what we are talking about. But as if Christians is not labor. That's what I'm going to emphasize. It's not as if we start strategizing like unbelievers. No. We use the spirit of Joseph. What is the spirit of Joseph? You hear a dream. Instantly becomes clear what it means and what you're supposed to do. You don't have to call people. Now, if you know the history of some of these big banks, how it began, the man did not have money. He had an idea. Once he began to open the markets and all of that, the guy sat down and said, look, listen. This government, these old banks, they can't compete if you do things properly. When I finished my NYC, a friend of mine, he was working in Now Merchant Bank. So I went to see him in Lagos. He said, Banky, come. Let me take you somewhere. He was working in Now Merchant Bank. So he came down from his office. I just finished NYC, okay? And I said, I want to show you the finest bank in the world. We went into the banking hall. It felt like heaven. This was Marina. I said, what are we doing here? He said, just watch. Just come and see. So we walked in. He's a banker too, you understand? So he was smartly there. I also smartly dressed. I knew how to dress nicely. You know, I'm a doctor, you know, so I go. We walked into the banking hall, and I remember it was like, wow. The guy said, he showed me that the counter was marble, green. I mean, you know, you'll be walking, you'll be using style to touch the marble. And you see some fine guys, fine girls, not the normal. How much do you say you want deposit? No, that's, I'm captain of fine guys, fine girls, well-dressed. My father. With all these chrome, you know, rails and all of that. And of course, quiet. You could hear the sound of your footsteps because not many people were walking inside there. How did he become? A man just looked and said, this economy is opening. He gathered men. He didn't have money. They all gathered and put money down. When they put money down, because he was one that came up with the idea, he had a huge chunk of the shares. The other men brought money down. Now he's one of the richest men in Nigeria. And we were there cursing Babangida from beginning to end. Abusing his life. Sap. Is this right? The small people can't eat again. They were there cursing the government. Some men were interpreting dreams.
Yeah.
I pray for you that the spirit of Joseph will enter you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That you will hear a dream and you will know what to do.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What is grace? Grace means that where everybody else is blind, you will see.
Amen.
That one is very important. Grace means where everybody else is blind, you will see.
Amen.
God will make you see what even Pharaoh, you must understand, without Joseph, even Pharaoh did not understand his own dream. So why are you blaming the president? See, let me tell you something. Being a ruler is a spiritual assignment. God talks to kings even if they are deaf. I'm not kidding about that. When Boris Yeltsin wanted to write a constitution for USSR, for Russia, post-USSR, it was a prophet, okay? An American prophet, actually. That God woke one day and said, sit down, write this down. This is what this man will write as a constitution of Russia. And the story I heard was that the man said, okay, he wrote everything down. How do I give it to him? One day he boarded a plane, went down to Moscow. In his spirit, he felt he should check into a particular hotel, and he went to that hotel and checked in, and stayed there and waited. And next thing he knew, Boris Yeltsin came into the same hotel. So he took the document he brought from home and waited on the corridor. And as the man was walking past, he greeted him, I have this for you. The Lord said I should give you this. Next time he heard the constitution of Russia being read, it was deduced, was written from what he gave to that man. God speaks to heads of states. Don't think, look, when God wants to shape your destiny into manifestation, he will talk to Buhari. I'm not joking about that. Except that you must be careful not to laugh at dreams. Because when heads of states dream, just like Pharaoh, they also don't know the meaning. They depend on Joseph to interpret them. Charles Oludo will tell you 2020 vision, 2020, 20 top, you know, they tell you that. And then he retires from being CBN governor. But he has dreamt his dream. What is he saying? All the Josephs in the society pick the dream, interpret. What am I preaching about grace? What I'm explaining about grace is that grace tells you what to do. Grace helps you know where not to go. This is a time people start abandoning their destinies and running to foreign countries. This is not the time to run. This is the time to do what? Interpret dreams. What is the practical implication of interpret dreams? You will know exactly what to do. And let me tell you something. Faith, I said before, faith doesn't mean that what I'm doing doesn't make sense. Faith means what I'm doing does not make sense to the man who cannot see what I'm seeing. That's what faith means. Me that I'm doing it, it makes sense to me. If what you are doing appears foolish to you, it is foolish. It's not faith. I don't know whether you hear what I said.
Yeah.
If what you are doing appears foolish to you, it is foolish. It's not faith. Faith only means what you are doing appears foolish to somebody else. Why? He can't see what you are seeing. When everybody else is living anyhow and enjoying themselves and cruising all over the world, and Joseph is not doing that, he appears foolish. But after 7 years of abundance, they will see wisdom in what Joseph is doing. I hope you get my point here. What does that tell you? When Joseph is doing building, when Noah was building an ark, it was foolish. When rain began to fall, wisdom was demonstrated, was vindicated. But if Noah started building a train, that would have been foolish. Why? They told you rain is coming, you are building a train. Which one sinks first? Are you getting my point here? That is, Noah will operate based on what he saw that everybody else cannot see. And this is the fact that we have to be careful as believers. If we want to succeed by grace, we must use worldly methods. What do I mean? Listen, what God is going to do for you in succeeding by grace is a matter of understanding. Don't let the issues of the world becloud your mind. That's what I'm going to explain. When we are walking by grace and succeeding by grace, we are building our principles on the revelation of the word of God, which sometimes does not make sense to the world. I'll give an example. The way we think of long-term plans as businessmen is not the same as what the world is saying. The world right now is lying. Do you know what they call lying? They lie every day. Quarterly reports is a lie. Apostle, laws of fruitfulness, not now. Let's leave this. I'm about to start teaching laws of fruitfulness. Bishop, this is not for today. You should have told me that I'm preaching what's meant for Tuesday. Let me get back to my message. Now I'm stopping now. Let me stop now. I was about to start explaining some principles. Why Michael Dell decided to buy back Dell from the public domain. Why? Because too much lies. And Christians want to build their destiny up when the world has taught them lies. I know I spoke that in Greek. I will explain it during the week. Make sure you're around laws of fruitfulness beginning on Tuesday. Let me just summarize what I've said so far. That is what I've heard they say, all right? That is, what is God trying to do in our lives? He wants to get results by the infusion of his spirit into us, not by our own energy. What he just wants us to do is to be constantly filled with his spirit. That's what we Christians do, by being fed with the word of God constantly, meditating upon the word of God and prayer. When we do those things, what happens is that God's spirit starts working out inside us. Are you getting my point? What he wants us to do will come out of us naturally. It should not be because of what we have the strength to accomplish, but because of what the Spirit is producing in us. Listen to me. God will give you what the Bible calls wisdom for salvation. What does that mean by wisdom for salvation? Wisdom for salvation simply means how you will do things that will give you your own unique results. Let me give you just a small testimony. When we began in Kingdom Word Ministries, all right? There were some things I said. For example, I said our books will be available for free on the internet. My wife traveled once, saw one of her friend's husband actually. And they were talking. And the guy mentioned, I think he remarked that he found out that the whole book would be downloaded. And my wife said, yeah, that's how my husband likes it. He said, okay, let him be going on first. You know, that kind of attitude. That one day he will get somewhere and find that somebody else has printed his books and is selling them. My wife said, well, I don't know. When she told me, I said, you should have told him that if somebody did that, I would have prayed for the person for power to do more. And really, if anybody did that, if we just print it the way it's there and he's selling for profit, I will write him and ask the Lord to bless him. And that the only issue I will have with him is if he edits one line, I will have to pray against him. But if he doesn't edit it and he makes 100 million naira and does not give me 50 kobo, God in heaven, under whom I stand, knows that my heart will not miss a beat because I'm angry about it. I have realized a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. I've realized that. I found out. I said, my own joy was that let's propagate this thing. Do you know, one particular day we got two meals next to each other, two different people, thanking us for making our materials available. And one of them said, please, I would like to support the ministry. Can we please have the account information of the ministry? I hope you're getting my point here. Even if other young man sends to us his 5,000 naira, I know how books are. I don't know how many books you will sell before you collect 5,000 naira. But that's not even the issue. But there are many people who want to read who cannot buy. Not because they don't even have the money, but because there's a lot of restriction. You know? I mean, the guy is in Cameroon, he wants to read. And you don't have the distribution capacity to hit him in Cameroon. He said, what if you put in Amazon? He does not have the credit card to buy. God has created a Roman road for us, for the movement of the gospel. I should not put checkpoints here and there. I refuse to. That was the attitude. But you know what that begat for us later on? Many years after Kingdom Word began, everywhere I go, every single place I go, I meet people that their lives have been transformed because they can easily click to download. I was telling my wife last time I went to preach in Warri. One young woman, when she saw me, you would think she saw a spirit. The way she was, you know, freaking out, you know, because she saw me. I'm not kidding. Why? Because they had a place to go and listen, and their lives were being transformed. And this happens everywhere I go, every single place I go. I told you once my younger brother was eating in a restaurant. People were gathering to look at Pastor Banky's brother. I'm not kidding. See that guy eating over there? That's Pastor Banky's brother. Are you serious? They go and call somebody else. That this, and you wonder what is the big deal about being a brother to somebody? Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Listen, now this is ministry, okay? So it came out one particular way. Do you know God has a wisdom? Because ministry is not about profit making. We're not counting profit and all of that, okay? We are counting profit, but not financial returns. We're counting profit by how many souls are reached, how many souls are impacted, people's lives are transformed. So anytime we hear these testimonies, we're excited. So that's our profit. But for a businessman that needs to count his cash to be sure everything is correct, do you know there is a unique wisdom for him also? Do you get my point here?
Yes.
There is. And you know the truth? I don't know it. But most times, people around don't have any idea. What's the point I'm making? There is a wisdom for you. Say amen.
Amen.
There is a wisdom that God will give you. You will not struggle to succeed in this life.
Amen.
You are going to move to another level. You are not going to use common wisdom. You will do things differently. How are you going to do it? That's the point I'm making. I don't know. But God will reveal your own method to you.
Amen.
And that is what he wants us to have in life. The ability to succeed using uncommon methods. Let me stop here because I really want us to close. Let's rise to our feet. Let's give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Lord, Father, we thank you. I want us to just thank God for today. Thank God for the power to serve him. Thank God for power to walk, to do exploits for him in life. Thank God for the power to have those qualities in you increasing. Let's just thank God for that. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. So let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just put up our hands and say, Father, I thank you for your grace that's working in my life. Success is my portion. I've been free from every curse. Declare it, I've been free from every curse. All things have passed away in my life. Success is my portion. Manifestation of godliness is my portion. Christ is seen through me. I am the light of the world. I'm the salt of the earth. And I'm fulfilling that destiny in the name of Jesus. No evil shall befall me. No plague shall come near my dwelling place. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Father, we give you thanks.